Welcome to 401k to Roth 401k Conversions. I'm Bob Keebler, and joining me today is Barry Picker. Barry and I will discuss the new notice that came out from the IRS yesterday and how it affects your clients. Barry, welcome.
Hi, Bob.
So, Barry, what I thought we'd do today is maybe we'll talk a little bit about Roth conversions in general and why they're so hot. I think our listeners recognize that the Roth conversion has been looked at primarily because of increasing tax rates, the arbitrage of having outside funds to pay the taxes. Perhaps people have NOL or other tax attributes that shelter their conversions. And most notably, the estate planning bar is starting to realize the great opportunity we have from an estate planning perspective. So those are all good, important things. Now, the other thing that I want to talk a little bit about is ERISA. One of the things that's held people back, especially physicians, architects, from doing Roth conversions is the fact that if they convert to an IRA, they no longer have the protection, the absolute asset protection of ERISA. But in today's world, you can convert from your 401k plan to a Roth 401k and still have the protection of ERISA. So this is a really big thing. So it's a very big thing with lots of opportunity. So I thought what we'd do today, Barry, is I'd like to go through and just talk to you about who can convert and who can't convert, and basically, and why is that? What is, you know, the IRS seems to be hung up with this keyword distribution, and maybe you can walk us through that.
Okay, Bob. What we're talking about is actually two components here. First of all, the employer contribution that is in anybody's 401k or profit sharing plan is eligible to be converted into the Roth component as long as the plan allows it, as long as the plan has that Roth component. What can't be converted or what has restrictions on conversion is the employee contribution component. And basically, for that component to be permitted to be converted into the Roth 401k, the individual has to either be separated from service or has to be able to make an eligible in-service distribution. And under the code, that means the individual is either over the age of 59 and a half, or dead, or disabled, or is making a getting a qualified reservist distribution. Although I have a question as to how you can be dead and not separated from service, but we'll let the IRS worry about that one.
No, that's a very... A lot of people have made that observation. So but Barry, help me out. So if I'm 65 years old, even if I'm still working, can I convert everything?
You can convert everything, again, as long as the plan permits it.
Okay, now let's say I'm 50, I'm 58 years old, and I'm still working. What am I allowed to convert?
In that case, you are only allowed to convert what your employer has contributed to the plan, and of course, what you're vested.
So if each year I put in $10,000 and my employer put in $5,000, I can only convert that $5,000 element plus the growth on that $5,000?
Correct.
But as an administrative issue, those are all separately stated and right on the form I get every 3 months from the company. So, I mean, it's not like this dollar amount is going to be hard to find.
That is correct.
And so if basis would be separate, if some would be after tax and some would be pre-tax, if we were not 59 and a half yet, we would just match up the basis with whatever account it happened to be in, whether it was the employer contribution or the employee contribution. Does that seem reasonable?
It's reasonable. And again, if you're under 59 and a half, but you have a plan from a previous employer, you've separated from service from that company, that is all eligible for conversion into the Roth 401k.
So I can convert, I can really have my cake and eat it too. I can have the benefits of a Roth conversion within the four corners of an ERISA plan where I have absolute asset protection.
Correct. That's great.
Right. That's really the moral of the story here. Now let's talk a little bit about some technical things. In the notice, they talk about actually being able to convert participant loans. So say I borrowed $25,000 from my pension plan. I would be able to convert that to the Roth IRA, or the Roth 401k, if indeed it made sense?
Well, when they say converting a loan, my understanding, that means that your loan is money you borrowed and it is secured by your plan benefits. So if what they're saying, as I understand it, is you can convert that plan again into the Roth 401k, into the Roth component, that Roth component is now what is securing the loan, and that conversion itself would not trigger loan repayment or acceleration of the loan. And basically your loan repayment, whatever the provision is that you're repaying that loan, just continues going forward, but now the loan is secured by the Roth component.
So that could make sense. Let's just say that I borrowed because I'm having major financial difficulty. And part of that financial difficulty, I have some type of loss, which I may be able to use to shelter my conversion. That might be an ideal opportunity to take the money, even the loan amount, which is just another asset of the plan, flip that into the Roth 401k and shelter it with that carry forward. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, to use an example, let's say that your plan benefits are $75,000, and you've borrowed $25,000. So in effect, the net value there would be $50,000 if you were to leave. But if you were to convert the whole thing over, the taxable amount would be $75,000, not $50,000.
Okay.
And now in the Roth, you have $75,000 of income for the conversion. The asset in the Roth includes that loan, which is supposed to be now repaid back to the plan.
Got it. So let's go to the next issue. What about this whole idea of a married participant? Normally when we do something with a pension plan under RIA, we have to get our spouses to consent. Is that the law here, or is there an exception when we're merely converting from a 401k plan to a Roth 401k?
Well, I think the law doesn't treat it as a distribution in terms of RIA, because the money isn't leaving the plan. The money is just being moved from, let's call it, one pocket to another pocket. So you don't need spousal permission to do that.
I see. Okay, well, that's good. Now, lastly, it's my understanding that the plan can amend itself. Let's say the distribution age right now is 65. They can amend down to 59.5 and allow direct Roth rollovers?
Yes. The rule of 59.5 is what the code says is the minimum age that they would have to allow an in-service distribution. The plan can have an older limit, an older age, let's say, as you mentioned, 65. So the plan could be amended to say that individuals as young as 59.5 can do an in-service Roth conversion into the Roth 401k and still require people to be age 65 in order to take an actual withdrawal from the plan.
Got it. I have it. Now, let's jump over. With everything good, there's usually a bad issue or a difficult issue. My understanding is that if I do an IRA to Roth IRA conversion, I am given a privilege under the law called a recharacterization. In other words, if I do not like the result of my Roth conversion, I'm allowed to turn back the clock and go back into a traditional IRA and not have to pay a penny of tax. But am I right that with a 401k to Roth 401k, there's no recharacterization?
That's correct. There's no do-over on this one.
So, Barry, let's say I converted $1 million, and that fell in value to $500,000, and then I owed $400,000 of tax on the original $1 million conversion. Is that possible? I mean, there'd be no way out of that, would there?
There's no way out, and in fact, if it fell far enough, you could owe the government more than you even have in the plan.
Understood. No, that's an excellent point. Now, I suppose if you're committed to doing this, a couple of options might be to A, convert, like, almost like reverse dollar cost averaging. Maybe if you had $2 million, you might convert $250,000 a quarter for 4 years, or for 2 years, maybe eight times. Or the other thing I could do is in my outside brokerage account, I could buy put options just to protect myself against a massive wipeout.
All of these options, you know, are available, and again, that depends on what's invested in the plan and the person's outlook. Hopefully, we won't have anybody who, let's say, converts everything where all their the entire plan is in one asset. Hopefully, we, you know, it'll be a diversified portfolio, and we won't have any big market downturns.
Sure, no, that's exactly right, but. For the financial advisors, CPAs, and lawyers advising clients on this, I think you have to be really cognizant of this issue. And maybe, you know, we do not want to just jump in and convert everything at once, unless you're going to hedge it someplace, because things can go wrong. Now, the other possibility, of course, is just to convert bonds or assets that are not going to have a lot of volatility. So, Barry, let's go to the last issue, though. So we talked about recharacterizations, and I mean, I think that's a very important issue. But, you know, what else should we be worried about here when we're walking through all this? I mean, I think there's a lot of good things here, but naturally, you know, there's a couple of these bad issues. What about this 2 year? I understand that if I converted $100,000 today in my 401k, I would be able to recognize $50,000 in 2011, and $50,000 in 2012. Does that sound correct?
That's correct. It's actually the same rule for anybody doing a conversion from a IRA to a Roth IRA this year. And that is that the option, well, the default is that 50% of the income is included on the 2011 return, and 50% of the income is included on the 2012 return. That's the default. You can elect out and report 100% of the income on the 2010 return. What's interesting is that it's the same provision for the Roth IRA conversion and the Roth 401k conversion, but the notice specifically says that the election is independent for each one. So somebody who's doing both a Roth IRA conversion and Roth 401k conversion can elect on one of them to pay all the tax or include all the income on their 2010 return, and on the other one split it between 2011 and 2012, and in effect get a three-year spread of the income.
Interesting. Now, am I right? So what you're saying then is we're not necessarily stuck with the same election for a IRA to Roth IRA conversion as we are with a 401k to Roth 401k conversion.
That's correct.
See, and this is what's so interesting. There's a lot of nuances here. I think the biggest reason a financial planner, lawyer, CPA would advise someone to do a conversion in this situation is to keep the protection of ERISA. The biggest downside, just to summarize, is that there's no recharacterization. And that's really what we need to worry about. There's a lot of other rules, but to some extent, those rules are just red herrings. I mean, the two issues to stay focused on, again, are the ERISA protection and no recharacterization. So, Barry, I really want to thank you for being here today. This is a short 14, 15 minutes, but it means a lot to our listeners to be able to hear from an expert exactly what we should be doing going forward with Roth 401k conversions. Again, thank you, Barry.
Okay, good to be here. Thanks for having me.